Blog Talk Radio.
You know what free is, nigga? What's free? What's free is when nobody else can tell us what to be. Free is when the TV ain't controlling what we see. Told my niggas I need you. Through all the fame, you know I stay true. Pray my niggas stay free. Made a few mistakes, but this ain't where I wanna be. Before I'm judged by 12, put a 12 on my feet. Told my niggas I need you. Stay up, I know these times ain't true. Real life was free.
Since the lad I was cunning, just got a pad out in London. I keep stacking my money, I need a ladder by summer. AK shots, niggas ducking straight shots. Been a top dog, that's before the K-Dots. Cracking in 06, immaculate showmanship. Talking like you Mitch, disastrous on the strip. Holding on your bitch, could've never sold you a brick. With them people, you never been on the list. Mona Lisa to me ain't nothing but a bitch. Hanging pictures like niggas swinging from his dick. We so different, you thought these didn't exist. Seen on his wrist. I'm from the south where they never make it this rich. God is the greatest, but Satan been on his shit. Walking the pavement, I pray I'm illuminated. Over a decade and never nobody's favorite. Pot and kilo go hand in hand like we gambling huff. My amigo, 1 million grams when we count them enough. You was dead broke, I let you hold it back. You paid for it, but I fuck around and stole the track. Screaming gang, gang, now you wanna rap. Racketeering charges, caught him on the tap. Looking for a bond, lawyers wanna tax. Purple hair, got them faggots on your back.
What's free? Free is when nobody else can tell us what to be. Free is when the TV ain't controlling what we see. Told my niggas I need you. Through all the fame, you know I stay true. Pray my niggas stay free. Made a few mistakes, but this ain't where I wanna be. Before I'm judged by 12, put a 12 on my feet. Told my niggas I need you. Stay up, I know these times ain't true. Real life, yeah. What's free? Fed investigations, heard they plotting like I trapped. 20 million cash, they know I got that off a rap. Maybe it's the Michael Rubens or the Robert Krafts. Or the billionaire from Marcy in the way they got my back. See how I prevailed and now they try to knock me back. Block me in the cell for all them nights and I won't snap. 250 is showing, they still think I'm selling crack. When you bring my name up to the judges, tell them facts. Tell them how we funding all these kids to go to college. Tell them how we ceasing all these wars, stopping violence. Trying to fix the system in the way that they designed it. I think they want me silent. Oh, say you can see. I don't feel like I'm free. Locked down in my cell, shackled from ankle to feet. Judge banging that gavel, turned me to slave from a king. Another day in the bing. I gotta hang from a string. Just for popping a willy, my people march to the city. From a cell to a chopper, view from the top of the city. You can tell how we rockin' soon as I pop up. We litty poppin' like Bad Boy in 94. Big poppin' and Diddy and niggas counting me out. Like my account ain't busy, that's 5,000,020. Sit up and count till I'm dizzy. Fade 500,000, 100 round in a sizzy. If we beefin' and rappin', I might just pop up with Drizzy. Like, what's free? Free is when nobody else can tell us what to be. Free is when the TV ain't controlling what we see. Told my niggas I need you. Through all the fame, you know I stay true. Pray my niggas stay free. Made a few mistakes, but this ain't where I wanna be. Before I'm judged by 12, put a 12 on my feet. Told my niggas I need you. Stay up, I know these times ain't true. Real life was free.
In the land of the free where the blacks enslave. 3/5 of a man, I believe's the phrase. I'm 50% of Douce and it's that free, yeah. 100% of Ace of Spade, worth half a beat. Rock Nation, half of that, that's my piece. 100% of title to bust it up with my G's. Smokes, my niggas won't ever work together. You run a checker, but they never give you leverage. No red hat, though Michael and Prince me and yay. They separate you when you got Michael and Prince's DNA. I ain't one of these house niggas you bought. My house like a resort. My house bigger than yours, my spot.
Come on, man.
My route better, of course. We started without food in our mouth. They gave us pork and pig intestines. Shit you discarded that we ingested. We made the project a wave. You came back, reinvested and gentrified it. Took niggas sense of pride, now how that's free. And them people stole a soul and hit niggas with 360s. I ain't got 1 billion streams, got $1 billion. Inflating numbers like we po' be happy about this. We was praising Billboard, but we were young. Now I look at Billboard like, is you dumb? To this day, Grandma afraid what I might say. They gonna have to kill me, grandmama, I'm not their slave. Check out the bazaar, rapping style used by me. The HOV, look at my hair free, carefree. Niggas ain't nair free, enjoy your chains. What's your employer name with the hairpiece? I survived the hood, can't no shaitan rob me. My account's so good, I'm practically living tax-free. Factory, that's me, sold drugs, got away, scot-free. That's a C-C-E, copy, guilt-free. Steal me, and expect me to not feel away. To this day, you would say, y'all kill me. Sucker free, no shucking me. I don't jive turkey. Say happy Thanksgiving, shit sound like a murder to me. Smoke free, all of y'all calling out toll free. Label rob you for millions, yet you wanna put a hole in me. Sugar free, season but I'm salt free. You lay a hand on hold my shooter, shoot for free. I promise World War III. Send an order through a hands free. Kill you in 24 hours or shorter, you can't ignore the hand speed. On guard, it's off the head, this improv, but it's no comedy. Sign I fail? Hell no. Ha 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 ha.
Rapper Kanye West is no stranger to controversy, but his latest comment on the topic of slavery may be causing the biggest furor yet. Stephanie Skinderis is on the story. So, Stephanie, what exactly did Kanye say?
Okay, Andrew, this whole thing came up in the middle of Kanye West's interview with the TMZ show yesterday. He started talking about free thought, he talked about his politics, and then he made these very controversial comments about slavery. Want to get right to the video to show you? Have a look.
When you hear about slavery for 400 years, for 400 years, that sounds like a choice. Like, you was there for 400 years and it's all of y'all? You know, like, it's like we're mentally in prison. I like the word prison because slavery goes too direct to the idea of blacks. It's like slavery, Holocaust Jews, slavery is blacks.
Now, the backlash to that started immediately when TMZ staffer and podcaster Van Lathan stood up and confronted Kanye West. Have a look at that.
The rest of us in society have to deal with these threats to our lives. We have to deal with the marginalization that has come from the 400 years of slavery that you said for our people was a choice. Frankly, I'm disappointed, I'm appalled, and brother, I am unbelievably hurt by the fact that you have morphed into something, to me, that's not real.
Now, since then, Kanye West has released a flurry of tweets. Here is just some of what he said. He said, "Of course I know that slaves did not get shackled and put on a boat by free will. My point is for us to have stayed in that position, even though the numbers were on our side, means we were mentally enslaved." He also said, Andrew, his statement was an example of free thought, that it was just an idea, and that now he's being attacked for presenting new ideas.
And obviously people are just not responding well to the comments, and it's led to a firestorm of criticism on social media.
That's right. So first we have the fans, a lot of them saying they're disappointed. People are also mocking the comments with the hashtag if slavery was a choice, that is trending. Then there are the other artists. Director Spike Lee wrote a long post on Instagram saying Kanye West needs to wake up. Part of what Spike Lee wrote is, "Our ancestors did not choose to be stolen from Mother Africa. Our ancestors did not choose to be ripped of our religion, language, culture." Musician Will.i.am also tweeting and speaking about this, saying the comments broke his heart. He also says he hopes this isn't to raise awareness about Kanye West's upcoming releases. Kanye West, we know, has new albums coming out, a new seasons for his clothing line, his sneakers. A lot of people suspecting this is all some kind of marketing scheme, although, of course, we know Kanye West is known for being provocative. Whatever the motivation, some people are showing him support. Here is rapper The Game tweeting this: "Kanye's a genius. People who have never achieved greatness are not allowed to question it." Andrew.
All right, Stephanie, thank you. The CBC Stephanie Skinderis.
No. We all not gonna be together. This ain't no damn unity party with punks. This ain't no unity party with people who don't want the true liberation of black people. This ain't no unity party with betrayers and snitches and hypocrites and weak-minded, weak-blooded, spineless black people. This ain't that kind of party. So you take your raggedy ass on home. But those who want liberation,
I'm not
away from these punctified Negroes. Unless you unite the like-minded of us, whether we are Christians or Muslims or nationalists or agnostics or socialists, if we are like-minded on reparations and on justice for our people, we are brothers indeed. But a black faith ain't gonna make you no brother today.
Go ahead.
Be tired of these black faith, white-hearted,
go ahead, say that,
masquerading as though you love your people.
We see you.
Chains and more chains on the back of my neck and on the end of my wrist. Do you feel my hand when it comes up from five fingers to a fist? Making your heart feel like storms and lightning when you enter the bliss. Let me show you what it feels like to enter the soul of God, King Live the Gift. I'ma show you what, how it does, how it stands straight, so yet then how it twists. Let me speak to the mic and decipher and
transcend. Black I stand, with chains. But you can see me breaking the chains. But you can see me breaking the chains. Black I stand, black I stand with chains. But you can see me breaking the chains. But you can see me breaking the chains. Black I stand.
Let me vibe on this frequency. Secretly meeting me, people see me flipping knowledge from deeper sleep. Part of me gone, ex-mind prone, disappear. Having me known, third eye on, for the black I stand strong. God King Life, spit this lava to the radio. Esau cold for all the times that they petty for. Take a breath, let Jay Dizzle tell the rest. Prepare the calls, turn up the station, let us build and connect.
Build and connect, this is your host Jay Dizzle. You are tuned in to Black I Stand Radio today on a Friday, the 22nd of March. Today's topic is, being a slave is now a choice. Being a slave is now a choice. Before we get there, make sure you go to Twitter, BlackEyeStanRBG. Make sure you follow us on Twitter if you're not already. Check out MelanatedPeople.net, our black social media, our Facebook. Make sure you check out the Black Eye Stand Radio Facebook page, the Black Eye Stand Nation Facebook group, and join the nation, where we build and we connect and we do tangible things. Now, the reason why today's topic, and the reason why we're going today on a Friday night, by the way, you know, typically we go on the weekends, but because I do have community engagements, that does precedence over the broadcast at this point, because as I've stated last year for some of y'all that follow me on different social medias, this year is going to be about really building and showing the work, because the foundation has been laid. The connections have been made, and now it's time to go ahead and make the moves necessary to manifest the blessings that is our birth. Now, back to the topic, being a slave is now a choice. So you remember back in the day when, last year, when Kanye West said slavery is a choice, or slavery was a choice. I'm saying slavery is now a choice, but remember Kanye West said slavery was a choice. Now, the context of that was improper, and also the actual verbiage of it was improper, even though maybe what he was trying to say wasn't articulated proper manner. And everybody drug him across the internet, including me, several times. The Netiquette YouTube channel, which I also would ask you to subscribe to, I made a few videos dragging him through the mud for what he said. Mostly the reason, or the biggest problem I had with what he said, was who he said it to. Not just the slip of the tongue, if he didn't mean it in the way that it came out, because he later explained himself, as you just heard from the clip that we played from TMZ. But who he said it to was one of my biggest problems. It was a problem, because if he would have said that to a black media platform, then it could have been used as a way to motivate and critically think and, you know, inspire us to take our proper authority and position and do the work necessary. Then the message could have been received in a certain way if he was speaking this to us. My problem with what he did and who he said it to was that he said it on a Jewish-owned media platform. And because they were the biggest benefactors in enslavement of our people, it was almost an excusing them from their role. Not only that, of course, the verbiage that he said was incorrect, because slavery is not a choice, because slaves don't revolt if the condition they're in is by choice. Those who are enslaved, is what we should actually say, or prisoners of war, run away from the plantation. They don't conspire to alleviate themselves from oppression. So it seemed like a play for marketing and for making alliances with those whom, for business reasons, may be beneficial to some degree, but staying on code, it should be more important than that. And that was definitely an off-code way to articulate his point. But now we fast forward, and one of the things that I stated during that time was slavery, being enslaved, was not a choice. However, time it is a choice. It's a choice. Slavery, or being a slave, I should say, is now a choice. Being a slave is now, at this moment in time in 2019, 400 years later, it is a choice. See, if slavery was a choice during that time, there wouldn't have been revolts. Thousands of undocumented, hundreds of even documented revolts. If slavery was a choice at that time, there wouldn't have been a need for black soldiers to join the Union Army to risk their lives for the freedom of their people. I've made a distinction of who my people are. I understand that I am of the black race. That would be in fellowship in that regards to those of African descent across the world, because I am a Pan-African. But I'm also a black nationalist. So that means even though I do want the best for my whole race, I understand that I have a national to the new African, a.k.a. African-American, a.k.a. ADOS, a.k.a. black here in the United States of America. And the reason I make that distinction, as you just heard the clip from Farrakhan, is because within our race, there are many people who are treacherous, who are weak-minded, who still think like slaves. And whether it's intentional or not, the effects are the same. See, within my nation, those of us who have pledged an allegiance to what is beneficial to our nation, those of us who have pledged an allegiance and commitment to do the work of pursuing liberation, self-determination, self-governance, national freedom, justice, equality. Those of us who have made that allegiance cannot be treacherous, because once they are traitors to the nation and they no longer belong to the nation. So to me, nationality is more important than the race, because within the race, there are treacherous, there are weak, there are those that will work against us, there are those who just don't have the vision or the commitment to our people. See, being a slave is now a choice because we actually have the choice. We have the choice if we want to practice our own spirituality rather than continuing to practice a religion that was imposed on us. We have the choice to take a name better fitting to our cultural traditions and to our lineage and ancestors. We have a choice on how we maneuver within even the United States of America. See, those that were enslaved or prisoners of war in times past couldn't walk up away from their plantation at will without risking their life, without being having risk being captured and killed. It was a choice Harriet Tubman would not have had to go and rescue after freeing herself, after running to her own freedom. She wouldn't have had to come back There wouldn't have been an Underground Railroad. There wouldn't have been a war, as I said. You see, if slavery was a choice at that time, then that means they could have made other choices like we have today, which is to pool our money together and build on land that we purchase or acquire, which the choice of doing right now. If slavery was a choice at that time, they would have had the option of creating and forming their own government. If slavery was a choice at that time, they could have used political and or economic power and sanctioned the businesses that were benefiting. They could have formed a union. They could have decided not to go to work. You see, at this point in time, we have a choice. Being a slave is a choice now because we willingly choose not to do for self as we could. I mean, even those of us with the fancy names and the Hotepin and the Islam and the Israel, you know, all the different ways that we love to separate ourselves and not see ourselves as one because we're not seeing ourselves as a nation. We have choices. And part of that defeated attitude that plagues us today includes making excuses not to win, making excuses to stay in the situation. I was engaged in a dialogue earlier where someone was making a point or thinking they were making a valid, strong point about how Chinese people in Chinatown don't have to worry about policing. They don't get raided even though they do all these different crimes. That's not actually true. However, just to go along with the idea of what they're saying, you know, they kept saying things like they get these tax breaks and they get this free money and they get this free land and they get all these handouts and they get all these things and this and that. And what I said is, listen, a lot of Chinese people that come here, they come either with money, but those who don't, they pull their resources together as a unit. They take advantage of resources, tax loops, and different things that we actually have access to. Now, listen, I'm not saying that the deck isn't stacked against us. The deck is definitely stacked against us, but we know that because we've been saying that for the last 400 years at some. We have to realize that even though the deck is stacked against us, that we can still win. If you're on a football team and you're down by 10 points in the middle of the fourth quarter, do you just forfeit the rest of the game? Or do you find some type of scheme or some type of strategy to overcome the 10-point deficit and can play the game to win? I've never seen a team just say, forget it, we forfeit the game. Other nationalities that have came also had challenges. But then again, they're not as great as us. For 400 years after the so-called first ships landed here and the enslavement process started, or the prisoner of war process started, however you want to define it, we cannot continue to make excuses why we're losing, but we're not even playing the game. 2019, we can't continue to complain and whine about things that we can actually change. The Serenity Prayer, to paraphrase, is God grant me, what is it, the wisdom to know what I can change, except I can't and to know the difference between the two or something like that. Some of y'all probably know better than me. So, the point is, if we understand what we can change, I think it's the strength to change what I can, the wisdom to know what I, or strength to change what I can, the what I can, and the wisdom to know the difference, whatever. But we know what we could actually change in our community because we've been saying the same thing for decades now. Dollar spent, well, it wasn't always that much, but we know, we understand the financial power that we have, the financial collective wealth that we have. The financial collective wealth that we have really doesn't give us an excuse to complain about things that we actually have the power to change. We are not a poor people collectively. And if we've seen ourselves as one nation and not as a bunch of individuals, then we would use the power that we have in a collective way. There would be no need for handouts or grants. We would be able to build educational institutions, restoration clinics, health clinics, all the things that challenge our communities. We would be right if we thought as a nation. If we thought as a nation, we would police our own communities to a higher degree than we do now. Now, when I say these things, keep I do understand some of these things are going on because I'm involved in some of these things. I know a lot of the people who listen to Black Eye Stand Radio are the type of people, are definitely the type of people who also are involved in type of endeavors. But just to speak to the masses, just to speak to those who don't understand this, we have a lot more power than we accept, because with that power comes responsibility, and a lot of us don't want to take the responsibility. So, because most of us don't look at ourselves as a nation, make sure this is. Well, let me do a mic check.
Chains and more.
All right, never mind. All right, so because we don't look at ourselves as a nation, we don't share and communicate with ourselves like others. Nationalities do. Let me give you an example. We all know on the social media that bad news travels faster than good news. So we'll share ratchet, traumatizing, treacherous behavior more than we'll share good things that we could be sharing. I went to a meeting on Monday in the community. And within this meeting, there was a lot of different people from the political realm, the business realm, community activists, nonprofit organizations, institutions that provide resources to small businesses and startups. And even though I'm active in the community, most of these I had no idea existed. The reason I know is because we don't communicate these things through the grapevine like we do gossip and entertainment and treachery and twerking and the fighting and bickering. You see, other nationalities, to use the Chinese for an example, if they find a resource, first of all, they pull their resources. They'll loan each other money. They'll all work together, huddle up, pull the resources, put one person on, that person builds up, they put another person on, those people build up, they put another person on, the next thing you know, they have a complex, a business complex full of different businesses that they all make sure they're all doing good. They all make sure they do business with each other first. They even use their own banks. This isn't something that we can do. We choose not to do this. They communicate if one person gets some information on a resource available that can help their people, they share that resource. What we do, we don't share that. We keep it to ourselves as if we're in competition, as if it's somehow going to hurt us if we put someone else onto some information that would help them. not understanding that, hey, most of, if we all have the access to these resources, only a few of us have to really and make it, and then they can come back and assist the others in building, growing, and developing what they're doing. And next thing you know, we have a whole community. And next thing you know, we can buy blocks. We can purchase land, acquire real estate to do business, to provide the services and needs, products for our people. You see, at one point we did understand this. How do you think, you know, with this attitude, it's and these lack of resources, it makes me wonder, how did our ancestors, fresh off of plantations, fresh out of shackles, go and build cities? It wasn't just one city that they built that was just was by happenstance. They built hundreds of cities all across the United States. Who gave them a government grant for that? Where did they borrow money to get the tools needed for that? Who just let them do it? They had to be of a certain mindset. That's not a slave that would do that. See, our ancestors weren't slaves. They were enslaved. War. Slaves. Not to say that some of them weren't. But slaves don't go and build cities for themselves. Slaves would run back to the plantation to work basically for free during the sharecropping era. Those were slaves. Not all of us come from that stock. Unfortunately, too many of us do, because we can see residual of that by the way some of us speak in defeated terms. Identify a slave in 2019. And start speaking about things that are challenging and things that would help, and watch how many people will tell you that we can't do it. They won't let us do it. That's a slave. So as we take these kingly and these royal and these names that denote some type of higher power, godliness, that means nothing if you're still a slave. That means nothing. Reparations. Something that we should be demanding and organizing for. But how many of our people? Test it yourself. Go on social media. Start speaking about reparations. Start speaking about building our own community. Start speaking about building our own government. Start thinking about pulling our money and building our economic infrastructure. Start thinking of these things. Start speaking of these things and watch how many people, how many fancy conscious people will start telling you why we can't do it, why they won't let us do it. Oh, well, we might get reparations, but then we'll just give it all back. I don't know who this we some of y'all are speaking about. You're not speaking for the we. You're speaking for me. You're speaking for you and the people that you know. The people I know exactly what to do with some reparations. People that I know want our own nation and government and have the vision to understand what that might look like. But we're not all going to be together, as the minister said. Only those of us with like minds are going to be together. And we can identify who those are right now. I understand there are unactivated. There are some people who do share their like-mindedness. They just may not know how to move on it. And maybe they haven't put themselves in a position at this time to attract other like-minded people that they can get in where they fit in and actually start to get some done. But some of us aren't even trying to do that. Some of us are making excuses to stay losers, to stay slaves, because they don't want the responsibility that it takes. They're happy with a 9-to-5 job. No disrespect for people who have 9-to-5 jobs. I'm saying that should not be the end game. As you work that job, you should be looking for ways to create your own income, side hustle at first, until you can grow and develop that into something that can sustain yourself the same way your job does. Unless you're working for a business, then you're adding to our economy. You see, those who are slaves, when we say we need to buy black and bank black, They'll say things like, money is all in the Federal Reserve System, so it doesn't matter. In other words, what they're saying is there's nothing that they can do that can increase their standard of living with being on the plantation. The same attitude that some of us even did have back then when we would speak about revolting or running away, and they would talk about how we don't have it so bad. Master's not that bad. He only gave me 5 lashes for eating that extra biscuit. That's not so bad. We worked us 20 hours yesterday. That's not so bad. We can never make it through those swamps. We can never make it to freedom. They won't let us. They'll find us. They'll hunt us down. That's the attitude of a slave. And we did have slaves during that time, but we weren't all slaves. Generally speaking, we were enslaved. But over time, that mentality did turn into a slave mentality. And some of that carries on residually today. That's why we have some of these conversations with our own people who are resisting. A lot of them don't understand that that's a slave mentality. The same way a lot of the people back then didn't understand that's a slave mentality. That's why Harriet Tubman said that she's free more. They were happy being slaves, or they didn't know they were slaves. Doesn't matter which one it is, the results are the same. The effect is the same. You see, back then, even for them to make the moves that they made, they had to actually risk their lives. They had to risk their lives. It would be under the penalty of death if they wanted to worship the way they were accustomed to worshiping. That would have been the death of them, learning how to read, educate themselves. Would have been the death of them in many cases. They choose that. That's why I said in the past, and I still hold to the idea that I'm not interested in building with everybody. I'm simply not. I know that that's not actually a reality. I know that's not something that would even be beneficial to do so. Because unfortunately, so many of our people are comfortable with where they're at. Still training our children to go to school, go to college. When we see the game is rigged, you've seen what happened with this William Singer dude. You see that they rigged the game against us, but we go into college not just to get the skills so that we can use them for ourselves, but to we're going to school, put ourselves in debt just to beg a job. Like I said, the part of the process, steps you have to make to liberating yourself financially, that's understood. But at this time, everything that we do, when we speak about a nation, see, my nation, everything that we do is for the end game of liberation and independence. It's not for the end game of being comfortable in servitude and oppression for other people. It's not in the pursuit of building someone else's kingdom and empire while neglecting ours. But some of the things that we speak of, we shouldn't have to speak of. Other people don't even have to speak in terms of by Italian, by Irish, by Chinese, by Jewish. They don't have to have these conversations. They understand it. I understand that we have been disconnected from these and trained in certain ways, but it's been 400 years now. The information has been out there. There's enough people teaching and showing the way. We have enough examples of success. We have the Black Wall Street. Black Wall Street came to be because we didn't have a choice but to do for self. We didn't have a choice. And that's how we have to have our mindset right now, because we've seen what happens when we do go for self. We've seen the prosperous and success. Now, the slave mentality will say, well, look what they did. They bombed Black Wall Street. They'll kill us. Look at all the towns that they burned down. lynched our people. This is true. This is absolutely true. But a king, a ruler, a free person looks at the defeats and figures out ways to not take that same L. So in other words, you look at the Black Wall Street situation. And first, let's acknowledge the fact that the bombs didn't end Black Wall Street. Us spending our money outside of our communities ended it. Let's understand that. But also let's understand that Black Wall Street was not a city. Black Wall Street was a part of the city, which lacked the proper security. See, when we build, one lesson, if we haven't learned it by now, then you'll keep on regurgitating the same notion that they won't let us and they'll kill us and they'll come and do this and that, do this and that. Look, have some dignity, black man. Stand up, black man. We can build again. We are building again. But now we understand the importance of security and protection and defense. See, if Black Wall Street would have had proper defense, they probably would have never moved on them. Or if they did, the resistance would have made them fall back. This is why some of the black towns still are in existence today. Example, Boley, Oklahoma, 1932. Pre-Boy Floyd's gang. Bank robbers all around the South and Midwest. Robbing banks all over. They entered Boley, Oklahoma in 1932 to attempt to rob the black-owned bank. They weren't successful. Why weren't they successful? Because Boley, Oklahoma is a black town. It still exists to today. And because it's a black town, that means that they had a security force, an armed security force called the police department, and other black men and women who were willing to stand up and fight and resist the intruders. Therefore, Pretty Boy Floyd left with nothing. And this same resistance happened in many cities that still stand. Now, the ones that didn't fight and didn't understand that they needed to have defense, they don't exist. And all battles weren't successful, but that's never the case. Now, back to this reparations real quick. Now, you know it's our birthright for reparations, but it's something we're going to have to fight for. And if you don't have the courage to fight for it, quit trying to discourage other people who do. If you don't understand even the simple concept logistics of reparations, study it before you start speaking on it and trying to discourage people from backing the movement for reparations. I don't want to hear about how they're going to give, how we're just going to give it back, how you're going to give it back. I'm going to use that as a strategy to press the reparations. We're going to let them know, yeah, well, don't worry. Most black people are going to give them back anyway. You might as well just go ahead and cash yourself these reparations. Because then I know me and my nation ain't giving it back. So now they'll know that a lot of it's going to come back and maybe we're not going to give them reparations. Y'all are cannon fodder. And you're going to be used as such. If you ain't really down with the nation. I made a post where I was speaking about how white people are now starting to speak of reparations. And the point I want to make on this is because we don't really recognize our power. We really don't. We don't recognize our interests. Yeah, white people are more increasingly speaking on the idea that they back reparations. And that reparations do need to be paid. And that the original sin of America does need to be repented for. Or at least they need to try to make it right as much as they can. They can never make it 100% right. But they can never give us what they actually took. They can't actually repair us. They can only give us some of the tools and some of the debt that they owe that would allow us to repair us. So when I put that post, I was just waiting to see what people were saying, what their mind state was. So I asked, I said, yo, white people are now speaking about reparations. What are your thoughts? And it was mixed, but it would probably lean more on the side of people saying things like, it's a trick. It's a mental game. Now, when you say that, what you're actually doing is you're undermining not only your own intellect, but the rest of our people's. Or they say because they're going to benefit something from it. Well, duh. The way the world works. Those who were in favor of abolishing slavery had something to gain from it. I'm talking about the white people. Those white people in the North who wanted to abolish, they had something to gain from it. Does that make it less legitimate for us to want to abolish slavery? Do we now not want to? How many of our people are like, we don't want to abolish slavery because the white people just, they got something they want to benefit. They got to trick up their slaves. Let's just stay in these shackles. That's the way the world works. Yes, they benefited. The Northern Union benefited from the abolishment of slavery because they couldn't compete with free labor, and because the South was cutting them out of the deal, because as time progressed, they were able to go ahead and ship straight overseas without having to send them up north to be refined and then shipped off. So they were cutting the North out of the loop. So yes, the North had something to gain, but so did we. That's how the world works. So yes, white people, some of them, do understand that maybe the reckoning that they know is building will be alleviated if the right thing is done in regards to slavery. Maybe they understand that if we do have the tools to correct the challenges in our communities, it won't overspill to theirs. Yes, maybe some of them understand that, you know, a lot of y'all Negroes will run out and buy the new Harriet Explorer and give the money right back. Maybe they understand that. But some of them also understand that the true reparations movement isn't about asking the government to cut a check. It's about demanding that those businesses and corporations that still exist today, the masses of wealth because of slavery, that's who we're looking for. And there will be a role the government will have to pay, because they're going to have to sanction it and make sure that those companies cut the check. They're going to have to provide some tax exemptions and land allocations, as was stated within the 40 acres and a mill. In the long run, it is a win-win. So understand that. So the notion, so not understanding our power. Listen, the reason why white people are now starting to speak of reparations isn't just because they're going to benefit this and that. They would have known that the whole time. It's because we have a great influence, greater than we know. If we don't understand the influence we have, then look at your commercials that's coming on every day. Why are they targeting us? Why are they using our slang and our culture to sell products worldwide? Why are there white boys in Czechoslovakia breakdancing and scratching records? Why did they have to usurp the hip-hop movement in the first place that they didn't even think was going to live? They usurped it. They had to take the Public Enemies and ex-Klans and all those things, because people across the world were listening to that. And they knew that that would influence the young minds worldwide, and that influence would make them more subject to be, influenced to understand our plight and maybe do some things to alleviate some of the oppression. Because when these kids are walking around saying the black man is God and this is the challenges we went through, and they understand like the culture, and they start feeling a certain kind of way, and they start wanting to befriend us or mimic us, that means they're probably going to walk into these high political positions and these business positions, and they're not going to have the same amount of prejudice as the generations before. I'm not saying it would alleviate the whole thing, but that's how much influence it was. So they understood to protect themselves and their legacy and their future, that they couldn't have their children running around. They understood that. They understood that the same way that they teach what they teach to make a certain way about ourselves and them, to make us feel like they are more powerful. They understand that hip-hop music and the knowledge that we were dropping and the jewels we were dropping. We were dropping 120 lessons. We were dropping new lessons. We were dropping comedic lessons. Black nationalism, we were dropping that. And white supremacy can't stand with that much truth. So we're starting to break it down in the minds of their children, who wouldn't grow up with the same amount of hate and or supreme ideology of thinking that they're greater than. It eradicates that. That's why they had to flip the switch, make it what it is today. That's how much influence we have. The fact that all these different political figures are speaking of reparations is because they know that's what we're pushing and that's what conversation is. So to be hip, whether they're sincere or not, the fact that they're speaking of these things should let you know just how influential our conversation is, just how influential what we say and do and how we move is. Packing the stadiums as much if they're not mimicking us. Hell, even country music was mimicking us. Even Elvis Presley was mimicking us. Even Eminem mimics us. That's the influence that we have. Hell, I seen Hollywood KKK dudes, and they had on FUBU. One of the people had on FUBU. Spoke about this years ago. The KKK dudes had on a FUBU. And somebody addressed him like, yo, you know that's a black shoe company. Where are you wearing that? He said, because I like them. That's what he said. And Negroes had the nerves to be mad and say that, hey, you shouldn't be wearing those FUBUs. You should take those FUBUs off. That's a black owned. What are you talking about? You're wearing fucking Nike. He's wearing FUBU and you're wearing Nike. What's the real problem? He's supporting black business more than you. And he's KKK. What's the fucking real problem? That we're thinking too damn small. That we're not thinking critically. That too many people who really should be in class are trying to teach the class. Too many people that rode the little bus with the helmet on are now YouTube scholars and shit, lecturing and teaching our people. Too many people who don't really understand black nationalism are convincing our people to forego what our ancestors taught. I don't want to really get into that, but this is all part of that mentality. That too many have given up. That's why I say I'm not trying to build everybody. Not everybody's my people, man. You may be of my race, but that doesn't make you my people. That don't make you my nation, part of my nation. As a nation, and I was having this conversation with a sister last night, as a nation, we understand that we don't have to personally even like each other. We don't. But if I see you doing the work that's going to benefit our people, I'm still going to salute you because you're my comrade. You might be an asshole. I may not like your personality. But I'm not going to take away what you're doing for the community. I'm not going to delegitimize or undermine the value that you have to the community based on superficial reasons. Doesn't make sense. Because if we all lived to that same standard, we wouldn't go to work one day. If we live by that standard, we wouldn't be on the Facebooks. If we live by that standard, we wouldn't wear Levi's and Nikes and polos. We wouldn't if we live by that standard. We buy merchandise from industries and corporations that literally are funding, involved in slavery right now. Because due to the 13th Amendment, being a prisoner makes you subject to be a slave. And a lot of these companies actually invest in prisons or at least use the prison labor. That's slavery. We give our money to them and then turn around and we won't build with ourselves or with each other over superficial reasons. Being a slave is now a choice. It wasn't a choice then so much. Right now it's a choice. And when you have fear and doubt of yourself and your people, that'll make you give up. That'll make you become treacherous. That'll make you become a traitor, knowingly or unknowingly. That's why we say a lot of these athletes are slaves. And you say, oh, but they're millionaires. They can't be. No, they're slaves. Mentally, they're slaves. because when Colin Kaepernick took the knee to bring attention to something, that was a time that the rest of the brothers who are 70% of the NFL could have in unison said, look, we're taking the knee too. And if you don't want to give him a job, if you don't want to play him, then we can leave and create our own league. We used to have a Negro League in baseball. Why? Because we had no choice. That's the same mentality we need to use right now. Because if we did, and if some of our biggest sports stars would have stood up like a man, and if they understood how much power they have, because nobody's going to fill the stadium if the biggest stars in the game ain't there. You could fill up a high school stadium, maybe a college stadium, maybe build our own stadiums, create our own damn leagues. People are going to go where the talent's at. They're going to watch that. And maybe they won't make as much, but at least we'll control it. And eventually it will evolve into something. But they're slaves because even though they're rich, even though they don't have any money problems, we're talking about people that are getting $300 and $400 and $500 and maybe even $1 million in some cases checks every week. Break down those contracts. Break down those $1 million contracts. That means they're making several hundred thousand dollars a week in many cases. You're not starved for money if you know what to do with the money. Unless you're just frivolously spending it. You got enough money to be comfortable. See, back in the days, the athletes, the entertainers, they wouldn't wait till their career was over. That's why I didn't understand why you guys were shitting on Kaepernick. He was in the prime of his fucking career when he sacrificed that. Muhammad Ali was in the prime of his career when he sacrificed that. Lew Alcindor, a.k.a. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, was in the prime of his career when he decided to change his name and take all the flack that came with it. Was it Tommy Smith and Carlos, you know I'm talking about, the Black Power Fist at the Olympics. They were in the prime of their career. They had everything to lose by taking that stand for the people. And they did that. See, that's why I'm saying being a slave today is now a choice. Being a slave is now a choice, more so than ever. No, absolutely no reason. We have every single professional skill needed for a nation. Even from the entertainment, agriculture, education, science, engineering, medical, and we definitely have the collective wealth. And we will get our reparations. We have connections all across the globe. But you see, when you don't understand these things, then you just give up. We will get our reparations, and we will get land. And we already have land. We have cities. We have communities already, land that they own. And the movement has been actually building on that land for some time now. You just don't see it because Fox News ain't going to tell you about it. But even if, let's say, the Republic of New Africa, Elijah Muhammad's 8 to 10 states, or Republic of New Africa, 5 states, even if that was granted to us right now, a lot of y'all wouldn't even go to that territory. Let's keep it real. That's why I say that you're not my people. You may be of my race, but you're not my people. Because my people want their own. And I know that with the 40 to 80 of us that are in this country right now, I say 40 to 80 because I know they always say 40, 45 million, but I know that there's probably at least twice that. Plus, they're not counting the Caribbeans as black. Plus, they're not counting the Africans, North Africans as black, or some of the Latinos who are of African descent, because not all of them are. They're counting all of those. But even with the 40 million that they, if they gave us some states, if we were able to acquire some states through this reparation, I shouldn't say if they gave us, if we pushed up on them and made them pay what they owe, and we got a massive amount of land, and we formed our own government, which we already have, but let's say if we solidified the government we had and made it effective or made it more efficient and it wasn't provisional any longer, a lot of our people, they wouldn't even build on that land. They wouldn't even want to nationalize, even if they could stay where they're living. A lot of people, they wouldn't even want to nationalize because they still see themselves as slaves. They want to be a slave. It's a choice now. But some of us long for the day and work and sacrifice and labor and build the day where we can call ourselves a nationally, internationally recognized sovereign nationality with a government to back it and land and international connections. Some of us can see that vision. Some of us claim that we see it, but they really can't. That's why, see, losers make excuses. Winners find reasons to win, find ways to win. Losers will make excuses to continue to lose, and they'll justify it. And once you justify something, then it's okay, so there's no reason to change it. But winners find ways to win. Winners can see the deck is stacked against them, and they still figure out a strategy to win. And even if they don't win, damn it, they at least give it a try. They give it their all. As the saying goes, whether you think you can or can't, you're probably right. If you don't think you could do it, you're probably not going to do it because you've already not decided that you're not going to give yourself the chance to try to do it. If you think you can win, you're probably going to go and analyze and figure out a strategy to do so, and you're going to have the discipline to execute the plan. Shout out to those who are really putting in that work. Salute to the comrades across the nation that, against all odds, still do what they can do. Not everybody has to do the same thing. Not everybody has to have the same role. Not everybody has to be extra with it. Just get it in. What do you have? What passions do you have? What connections do you have? What can you do to onto the process, whether it be or major? And if some of you don't really have the time or the capacity or the ability or the skills to actually get involved in the day-to-day laboring, well, man, support the movement. Support it monetarily. Support some of these grassroots organizations. Support some of these big organizations and businesses. Support the black business. Support the black banks. And if you can't do that, well, put yourself in a position where you can, because there's no excuse not to. But even until then, you can still at least pray for, you could at least acknowledge, you could at least share the information, turn other people onto it. You could at least do that. You could at least give the positive energy towards it and just do what you can do. Everybody can do a little something. But I do recognize, and I also accept the fact that many of us won't, most of us won't. It's only going to be those of us who understand that we are a nation and wants what any other nation wants. Which is going to be the minority of us. It's not going to be the it's not going to be the masses of us. However, we already have enough. We already do. We're not organized as much as we could be. So at this point, being a slave is now a choice. Let me see what I can leave you with as we close this down. This is Black Eye Stand Radio. I appreciate y'all listening. I really hope y'all take this to heart. I really hope those of you who really understand, who really hear these words, and not understand, but overstand and understand and feel it and know that it's real. I hope that y'all help to spread this word on Black Eye Stand Radio. I really hope that you get involved in your community in some kind of way. I really hope that you put your effort into solidifying what we're doing, even if that just means being a good spouse, even if that just means raising these children properly. Even if it just means speaking to your people when you're in the street, so we can build that means a lot. Jay Dizzle. Check out the Netter YouTube channel. Check out Twitter, Black Eye Stand RBG. Twitter at Black Eye Stand RBG. Support Liberation Minded Media. That is Due to Knowledge Radio. The Rundown with Renee. My Skin is My Sin. Chewbacca's Black Experience. Black Power Radio. MBK, which is New Black Knowledge. And also Unapologetic Talk on Anchor Podcast Systems. We're going to leave this with Black Effect. We out. Peace.
About love? Well, there's love of children, love of self, love of God, love of a partner. And all of them have a different shape, but all of them is the same in the end. It's about sensitivity. It's about passion. It's about unconditional giving of self to another person. And there's love of humanity. That's the love that is right now needed most, love of humanity. But in everything, in all of that love, there is a soul. It's like when you take some eggs and break them, and you take the shell, and mix them up, trying to find the ones that match. When you find the perfect match, that compatibility results in passion, results in unconditional giving of self.
I hope I can say that again.
Yeah, I'm good on any MLK Boulevard. I'm good on any MLK Boulevard. See my vision with a tech, bitch, I'm Malcolm X. Haters dreading my effect, they want that DOS effect. Get your hands up high like a false arrest. Let me see him up high, this is not a test. Yes, put him up, this is not a test. Now hands where I can see him, fuck the false
white
arrest.
Bitch that I rock shit permanent. The fro that I grow got no permanent. A nigga laid, but he's best dressed. I slowed down by the weight of my necklaces. Park Lexus project, bitch, reckless. Extra magazine, hopped on the jet with my ebony chick. Blacker than the Essence Fest. The behind the back pass is so effortless. LeBron James to you, Amorosa. Dapper Dan at 4 a.m. Shit, I am the culture. I made my own way, so now they anti-title. I'm living a no-stop life despite you. Since the Khalid doc, they've been at my neck. Y'all can tell them Trayvon is coming next. The SEC, the FBI, or the IRS. I pass the alphabet boys like an eye test. I'm good on any MLK Boulevard. I'm good on any MLK Boulevard. See my vision with a tech, bitch, I'm Malcolm X. Haters shredding my effect, they want that DOS effect.
Get your hands up high like a false arrest. Let me see them up high, this is not a test. Put them up, this is not a test. Put your hands where I can see them, fuck a false arrest. With your curls, your lips, they're up by me. Gotta hop into my jeans, like I hop into my wheel, yeah. I've been in a hoodie like Mello. Come up by that pretty motherfucker like hello, hello. I will never let you shoot the nose off my pharaoh, yeah.
I like purple and purple rain. Tryna put red and blue together, bitch, that's on game. These people tryna get me out the paint. Cause I cook collard greens and yams better than your aunt. Man, we started with a mustard seed. Now we in the grade 9-11 with the mustard seed. Sheesh. Matte black Puma check. Shining my light on the world just like Umi said. Got the rich Millie all colors. Might hit you with the rose gold all summer. For the culture. They even biting cornrows. Put your scarecrows up. I come from the finest crop. Tell them the guards on roll, watch them line the block. Chitlin' circuit to stop. Now we in stadium, 80,000 watt, yeah. Watch. I'm good on any MLK Boulevard. I'm good on any MLK Boulevard.
see my vision with a tech, bitch, I'm Malcolm X. Haters shredding my effect, they want that dice effect. Get your hands up high like a boss arrest. Let me see them up high, this is not a test. Yes, put them up, this is not a test. Now hands where I can see them, fuck a false arrest.